Never has it been a better time to be a consumer. More efficient supply chains move products quickly from concept to consumption. Recommendation engines study our previous purchases and work to predict our next. Customer reviews are available for products all the way from Apple cores to zebra pattern pants. The transformation to a consumer-centric model is one the healthcare industry continues to struggle with. Armed with data from Dr. Google, patients walk into exam rooms ready with suggestions. Armed with connections to their clinicians through technologies like patient portals, patients communicate the questions, comments, and concerns with their doctors in ways not available to them a decade ago. Welcome to Steps to Value, a podcast that explores the intersection of people, processes, and technology in healthcare as the industry moves towards a value-focused model. In today's episode, we will explore the impact that healthcare consumerism and patient engagement have on the delivery of care with Dr. Melissa Reiser, Chief Medical Information Officer for 2016 Davies Award-winning Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. Melissa also shares with us her experiences at the HIMSS Annual Conference and how it has helped to support her professional life. All that and more coming up.
HIMSS17 is the meeting place for all things health IT. Experience over 300 education programs, more than 1,200 vendors, hundreds of special programs, and limitless networking opportunities. Collaborate with HIMSS and thousands of colleagues worldwide as you work to positively transform health and lives through IT. Register today at HIMSSconference.org. I'm here with Melissa Reiser, Chief Medical Information Officer at Ohio State University's Wexner Medical Center. OSU's Wexner Medical Center was a 2015 recipient of the HIMSS Davies Award. Melissa, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rod, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, so let's take a look at the consumer side, the patient side of this. What impact do you think that this trend toward healthcare consumerism has had on the relationship between patients and their providers?
Well, Rod, I think overall it's had a really positive relationship. I really enjoy going into my office and seeing patients who are well-informed and have kind of looked up what they think's going on ahead of time so that we have the opportunity to address what might be their concerns without me having to suggest what might be their concerns and them having to think about it and respond. But they've actually taken more of an interest in their health care and what's going on for them and the availability of information for them, sometimes good and sometimes bad, is at least helpful in getting the conversation started in the exam room and to start to help them think more about their own health care.
Well, that's an interesting perspective because we talk to a lot of people in this field, and I think over the past several years, you've probably heard this too, where people were coming after having read things on the internet, and there are some providers that haven't appreciated that so much. Has the quality of what's out there changed, or is this closer to what you're talking about, where at least we have a starting point and we can have a conversation? How do you perceive that?
I don't perceive that the information has gotten any less bad. I would perceive that the information has just gotten broader for patients, and I think healthcare providers are getting much more used to dealing with it now. Having been in practice for many years, I can remember when direct-to-the-consumer advertising started, and I cringed when I first watched those commercials on TV, knowing that the next day when I went into work, I was going to be addressing all of those questions that patients have about, you know, should I be on this drug? And certainly that happened. But what has been nice is that this hasn't been just information that has been pushed to the consumer, but it's actually been the patient reaching out and trying to consume the information in different areas. And when they do it, even if they choose evidenced websites, they at least come in with the start of the conversation about, well, I Googled this. And you go, okay, well, let's talk about some good sites to look at and some not so good sites. And you might mention some outstanding healthcare sites, and the patient will either respond and say, oh, yeah, I looked at that one, or, oh, no, really? That one I should have looked at. And trying to help direct where they might spend their energy and their time has also been a learning opportunity for us as providers, but also an educational opportunity for the patient, so that the next time something comes up, they have a better idea of where to go for that information.
That's really good advice. So what would you say then, how do you encourage this? What are the characteristics of an effective patient engagement strategy? And can you share any examples with us that you've seen that really work?
I'm trying to think of all the different patient engagement strategies that I've been involved in. And here at OSU, we have OSU MyChart, which is the patient portal that the patient can reach out to the provider. And we actually have taken an approach where the patient does have direct access to the provider through their patient portal. So it doesn't go to a screening pool or a nurse prior to getting to the physician, but the patient knows that when they put a question in for me that it comes directly to me. I also lay some ground rules that say, you know, on the weekends I may not respond as quickly as what I do during the day. Or during the weekday. And patients are very understanding of that. They realize that I'm not practicing 24/7 and that I have a family. And when you lay those ground rules and they have those clear expectations, I found that that engagement that happens through the patient portal, where we also give them information that's pertinent to what may be on their problem list or a recent diagnosis that they've had, and we feel like that evidence-based information is much better for them, then they're not so often Googling the information. So we're able to push it directly to them and then be available for any questions that they might have as they talk to friends or relatives and as they reach out for other information. So I think having that open and clear communication has probably been the best thing, because then they don't come in 2 weeks later having worried about something for 2 weeks when they didn't feel comfortable picking up the phone and calling, but they feel very comfortable typing a short question and knowing that they're going to get a response back probably within a day from me. So that's probably been the best engagement strategy that we have had and that I have found to be most successful. And almost every time I walk in a room to see a patient, they say, oh, I love MyChart. I love having that. And they may not have even used it, but having the reassurance that they can reach out and get the right information when they need it, I think is reassurance enough.
Yeah, and it changes that whole expectation level where, well, I can't ask my physician anything because my appointment isn't for another 6 weeks yet.
Right.
So I think, you know, your point about lowering anxiety levels and keeping people engaged that way is well taken. So
go ahead. Just to add to that, it also kind of helps with the visit when they come in the next time, because they're not bringing in a long list of questions that they've saved up for a month, but they actually were able to get some of those high anxiety questions answered pretty quickly, and they put those aside, and now they can concentrate on more, you know, the one or two questions that they might have during that visit.
All right, so I'm going to ask this question on behalf of people who might be listening to this podcast thinking, I don't have time to do that. How much time is this adding to your day, or is it just a shift away from the way you used to spend your time? How are you managing that?
I would actually tell you that it saves me time. And here's my reasoning. There are many times prior to electronic records and prior to the patient portal where I would get, so-and-so wants you to call them. Can you give so-and-so a call? You know, and so I've got my list of patients who I need to call back. And so I would sit down at the end of my day with my list of patients to call, and I would start calling. And I wouldn't get half of them. And so now I've got my continual list that carries on into the evening while I continue to try and get a hold of patients who might have a question. With the patient portal, I can get it taken care of in a snap. I can easily respond to the question. And if it's something that is really more a discussion type item, I tell the patient to make an appointment and come on in and let's discuss it, because I know there's going to be more back and forth about those things. So honestly, from a time perspective, so much quicker, so much more easily done.
Nice. So have you been doing this long enough now to notice a difference in maybe the patient satisfaction levels or any kind of scoring or grading that you have? Do patients really appreciate this, and how do you know?
We do have patient satisfaction levels that show that patients who use MyChart and providers who use MyChart have higher levels of satisfaction than either patients who use MyChart and don't get a response back efficiently from the provider or don't use MyChart. So we have looked at that, and there's definitely a difference.
Now we're going to shift gears a little bit here. You've been a member of HIMSS for a while, and you've been attending our conferences. How have things changed? Can you think back to your first HIMSS experience, and how's the value you get out of conference changing as you've seen this evolution toward more ubiquitous use of technology?
I've seen a lot of things change during my time of attending HIMSS, and some on the part of HIMSS and some on the part of my own development. I would say when I initially started with HIMSS, it was really more trying to glean as much information as possible from all of the other resources that are out there, whether it's other institutions like Ohio State who are sharing what they've done, or whether it's vendors that are there to talk about the greatest and the latest and the best product on the market and wanting to enter into a partnership to try and offer whatever that may be to our patients, to now being much more of, I would say, those that are involved at Ohio State being more of a resource for HIMSS and being more of an authority on some of those areas that we've been able to be at the cutting edge, just like the question about patient satisfaction and have we really looked at it with the patient portal. And we actually now use a patient portal within the hospital for hospitalized patients, and we see the increase in satisfaction of the patients in that. And then talking about other innovative changes like immediate release of results to patients and what's the impact of that, and how does the consumer see that when they're not being held to just getting the results from the provider themselves, but actually able to get those results and to start to look at that before they have a conversation with their provider about them. So I'd say those are the main changes that I've seen.
Okay. And there have been a lot of changes due to this. So how do you keep up with the changes in technology and the changes in the medical profession itself? You're responsible for both.
It's hard. That's an easy response to say. It's really hard. I think HIMSS is one way to do that. It has certainly been a great opportunity to know what is really cutting edge out there. The other thing that I've been able to do with HIMSS is to be a Stage 7 volunteer surveyor, and to be able to go to some of the other institutions that are at that level of Stage 7 and to see what they're doing and to be able to share that with other institutions in which I do the survey and with our own institution when I come back and say, hey, did you see or hear about this really great thing that another institution is doing? it enables us to keep up with the times. It challenges us to be better, but it also allows that exchange to occur so that we can all be better together by supporting each other in those things and sharing that information.
Can you think of any examples of, and you don't have to name names, but something that you saw that you were just so excited about you couldn't wait to institute at your own organization?
You know, I'll tell you about a couple different things that Tom Bentley works closely with me here at Ohio State and runs the clinical applications part of information technology. And he did a trip recently to a facility that had centralized monitoring and was able to really keep a finger on the pulse of the entire hospital within a room of a bank of monitors and to be able to monitor med delivery on time and infections and isolation and Muse scoring and all of those types of things was one thing that he brought back really excitedly to Ohio State. And I've heard him share several times in other surveys that we've done. And we are presently looking at being able to do that and working on that idea. And then another institution did a lot of work for their area and their state by doing a lot of work at home types of opportunities for their areas such as health information management and other areas that can easily lend themselves to that and be able to be monitored in that way. Just a huge bonus for areas that may not be able to make that commute every day to work in a centralized facility, but to be able to do their work every day from home and be that productive was very impressive. So those are just two of many things that we've seen in different places.
And good examples, too. All right, we have time for one more question, and this one's kind of a fun one that we ask people. You know, as you know, we kind of focus on the relationship between people and technology, and we're trying to get to know the people who use the technology to make healthcare better. What is your favorite technological invention, and what do you think its impact has been on our culture? It doesn't have to be in healthcare, just any technology that you think has really changed culture?
It has to be the cell phone. It has to be, and I would probably, and you can decide whether I can use a manufactured name or not, but I would say when the iPhone came out, it changed everything. It changed the world. It was so mobile, and as those apps have expanded, the ability to be anywhere in the world and be able to take care of a patient in the palm of my hand is unbelievable. And so having that technology from a provider perspective has just been earth-shattering for me. Now, the other piece of that is that I have a teenage girl, and if I have to look over at her one more time and she has her head stuck into a cell phone, I think I'm going to scream. In fact, I probably have a couple times. So when you ask me what I think is the biggest change, it's probably the cell phone, you know, and the handheld cell phone, not those big old ones that we had, but the really small portable cell phone has definitely changed it so many ways to the good. And I think the truth is yet to be told about what's going to happen as our teenagers use it more and more and do all of their communication by texting. That part I worry about a little bit, but I think that story is yet to be told.
Melissa Reiser is Chief Medical Information Officer at Ohio State University's Wexner Medical Center. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us on Steps to Value.
Thanks, Rod. I appreciate being here.
So how is your healthcare organization responding to the rising power of the healthcare consumer? How have your own experiences consuming healthcare changed? Send us your thoughts as a voicemail or an email, and we will play them on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Melissa Reiser, Chief Medical Information Officer for Ohio State University's Wexner Medical Center, for sharing her thoughts on healthcare consumerism and patient engagement. Steps to Value is a production of HIMSS North America. Steps to Value is co-produced by Rod Pahowski. I'm Adam Baser, and see you next time on Steps to Value.